listeners, you're welcome to another episode of The Barman's Barbecue. Here we examine sacred cows. We roast them and serve them as it is hot.
She's still like that.
She's in Nigeria.
Yes,
I mean, like, how is she like?
She's like 75, but she's very healthy. And...
like, have you? No, I mean, like, is she cool? Is that what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, she's cool. She's fun. My cousins are gay, stay with her, and other people don't want them.
Oh, but she don't get a while. Like.
Of course.
You see, those cultures, like those religions, all them, we like to spread Christianity as loving, but really, are we loving? We just love who's like us.
We love what we want, what we feel safe with, and
who's like us now? No, we're not.
What we can identify with.
You see, I put on with dress, you see, I put on with piercing, you see, I put on with makeup. Like, oh.
Somehow, I feel like even though this whole Yahoo Boy profiling thing is driven by like really the religious context.
Oh, the mama said it's doing NSAT.
You get
like, our culture.
So, like, if you go to, I don't know, maybe out of country, the West, USA, or whatever, what would we consider as profiling for them? It's something that would also be kind of vetted by the moral standard of the community, which is basically the church and maybe slightly other religious communities. So there's a lot that, of things that will set in tone. Anyways, the
reason I feel like this makes for a very good podcast, Faith and Culture.
Oh, interesting.
So now that you have disrupted his flow, now what are we going to do?
No, he finished his story. Yeah, we're not talking about what he wanted to.
I was about to read this thing, but
okay, read it. Let's jump on it.
Every time you pray, it's God in you telling you to pray. You wouldn't even desire to pray except for God in you. It's God in you that loves God, that desires God, that seeks God. See Romans 8:14-27. Every time you choose God, on some level, God has, in the previous nanosecond, just chosen you, and you have somehow allowed yourself to be chosen and responded back. First page.
So,
Richard Rohr say this thing.
I think it's probably paraphrasing, but like most likely he listened to a sermon or something and paraphrased what he learned.
I need to hear the original purpose.
Because it's sounding.
There are things I'm not understanding. It's sounding nothing dualistic. Sorry.
Yeah. Like maybe you said, oh yeah, one with God. Okay, so like you know the famous quote from the Italian monk.
Which
okay,
one?
Let me tell you guys. Oh Lord, thou art the love with which I love thee. Oh. I love it. I couldn't hold myself. I think I
see that word beloved.
Now the love with which I love thee.
Say it again.
Oh Lord, that was the love with which I love thee.
Oh.
Like I had to use it to talk in one of those tribe business we were doing that time. You're writing it down.
So, it sounds romantic.
Rather than
just
life.
Like that talk that you are God experiencing God as other than God.
Yes.
I want to start writing.
We don't know how to say yes by ourselves. We just second the motion. There's a part of you that has already said yes to God. It's the Holy Spirit within you. God first says yes inside of us. And we say, oh yeah, thinking it comes from us. In other words, God rewards us for letting God reward us.
In other words, that means free will doesn't exist. F free will.
No, but I think just like I think Brad Jesse talks about free will and freed will. Yeah, so
what is the difference?
So it's possible, like, so people in this people who reject God, are they actually doing it as with their freed will? You know, so what if the free will we currently have is...
So, like, the rejection of God is a symptom of their lack of actual free will.
Yeah.
Snap.
Mirabella looks like she's...
I'm understanding, but I'm trying to...
Yeah, so the... Like,
I'm
so,
a skeptic here, so I'm pretty skeptic, right?
Yeah, it's fine. We need one of them in every gathering.
Yeah, so the free... The Judas, yeah? so the free will...
But that feels like a circle.
What?
In other words, they're saying that... Choosing God is a symptom of free will. So,
no,
not choosing
what God made would always choose God.
Yeah.
So, you're
then
where
is
choosing,
free will in that? I'm always going to choose you.
So, you're not choosing God.
It's because your true
because
will
of,
is not free
you're, you're not truly free to choose God.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you are.
Then,
really
if
influenced.
I'm bound to not choose God, what makes that free will? Do you get? It's like circle outside of circle
so
inside of circle.
Let's replace freed will with freed nature, right? So it's like saying that the nature of who you are is a person that is drawn to love and drawn to God.
Yeah.
But then when you are not yet freed, like you're not yet they're not yet seeing clearly.
Now what I'm saying, so you're saying I can't make the choice. So if I make the choice to not choose love, it means that it's not free will.
Yeah, I mean, if you are made in the image and likeness of God, you are. Yeah.
Then what is free will in the end? Like, if you just throw free will now, because in the end, nobody is free.
So. I wanted to talk about something else, but I was just thinking on what you're saying. So there's absolute free will and relative free will, but the only being in the world completely capable of absolute free will is God, because He am like I am, and He can be anything. Yeah. Understand? But every other thing, every other existence of creation is going to exist in relative free will. You cannot just become a rabbit if you want to become a rabbit now. Can you become a rabbit?
Yeah.
Okay.
You understand? So it's like you're always going to have, it's just like multiple choice questions. You cannot choose G if there's no option G.
Oh, okay.
You're always going to choose between the confines of what is given to you. Understand? But then the nature of those options, if you're reading the right question paper, the nature of the options is actually love, love and love, or love, peace and joy, or something. But then if you are in the wrong place reading the wrong question paper, you're, I'm being too complicated, for example, but you get what I'm trying to say. So the other question I was going to ask about what you're saying, I think I'm talking too fast.
No, it's fine, it's
fine. So when we were talking about God being one being and three persons, how do you guys consider human beings like man? So, you know, there's something in the Bible, I don't know if you have ever heard of any of those weird teachings where they'll be like, oh, all of man is united, and that God does not see, like, individuals. He sees the church, he sees man as a whole.
Okay.
As one creation. And so somewhere in Revelation where it says that you grow forth as a man child, something like that, and it's like, oh, okay, yes, is everybody coming together, you know, it's the church that's coming forth as a man child, like God is seeing man as if it's like one whole force of the bride.
Okay.
The fourth person in the four square. But you understand what I'm saying? And then in my head I'm like, is the being of man separate from the being of God? Or it is one being and four persons. You understand? Or one being and 7 billion plus three persons. You understand? Because like, okay, created in His image, and then sustained by God, you know, the word of God is the creator of everything, beginning and end of everything.
Yeah.
So like, is our being separate
from the being of God?
Yes, you know, in the same way that you say that the being of God, the Father, God, the Son, and God, the Holy Spirit, the same one being, but three persons.
Yes.
You understand? So, in the context of like, free will and freed will that you're talking about, I just was like, okay, the way of your being, what's that thing you talk about when the way of your being matches the truth of your being? I felt like the truth of our being is the same truth of the being of God. So understand?
I don't know whether I can, if we look at it as per essence.
11:11 again, continue.
Yeah, what we are. Mm-hmm. I have someone who always notices those kind
weird
of like
times.
Weird time, like something is breaking in, or I don't know.
Already there was also fun. Sorry, this is still a record.
Yes, right? Yes, but just yeah.
I bet there's 11:11, and she's always saying it like every time.
Oh, okay. My NYSC number was 111.
Yeah. All those angel numbers come down. Yeah,
my phone number is
111.
Hey, still again 11:11. But I don't see it as an teacher.
Yeah, but I think it's you that will give meaning. And
we'll come
back to what we're talking about.
Yes.
But yeah, that's what I think Chris Green has in his book, a quote, something like, God does not save us from interpretation, but something like by interpretation. Right? Mm. And interpretation is kind of like how we fulfill purpose. You know, while I was listening to you this morning, I'm just thinking that, you know, like it or not, we interpret or we try to make sense of everything. Interpretation is how we are as human beings. We interpret one way or the other. We judge.
It's like the guys that say, that's not what the Bible is saying. Take the Bible literally. But you're still giving it meaning. Even you that are saying it's literal, you're assuming a meaning.
Yeah, like when Jacob was saying, when people say they want to study the Bible, but they're... They want to use King James. They want to use King James and not other version, because King James is the original one. So you're really not coming to the Bible with an open mind, because you already chose that this one is wrong and this one is right.
Yeah, so I'm just saying that to say,
so
how we interpret events, like
and
it's
everything. Just like the one they say, some people say a cup half full, some people say half empty.
Yeah, and so that's I'm saying that to say that, so whether we want to make sense of 111 or 444 or whatever, right?
Or 401.
Yeah, it's
they're not dog meat or something.
Yes, it is.
It's 404.
Like personality test. You can actually see it as, oh, you have this tendency to do this thing, so you have to work better on yourself. Or you can see it as, this is how I am, I can't change. I'm a Capricorn. Oh, sorry.
You can see it as, it does not make sense, because you cannot see there are only two of people in the world repeated over and over again.
Yeah.
But even the personality test people tell you that armor can go beyond, go outside, go, it's a mixture of everything.
Yeah, so back to the essence. And so, like me, I was like, I don't even know if I understand the question fully well, but I'm thinking
understand it
that. But I feel like, yeah, we are all essentially, right? We are the same. Like, we have the same substance, right? We are made by God, like the Bible says, energy or whatever, right? So, like you say, in Him we live and move
and have our being.
Like someone says that we are spirits slowed down to visibility.
Who said it?
Maybe Dr. O, one of those guys. So, we are, so we are all, and you know, there's a verse that says that God is the Father of spirits.
Yes.
But like, or someone says that, like, yeah, the physical world, like, again, is just energy that slowed down. Or if you talk about
vibration,
everything is all vibration. But you know, like, material world is vibrating at
and
the particular.
And then it's all space. Like, they say that if you can like squeeze up all the matter of this table, it's just a space. Like everything is space.
Okay.
If they get, I've never heard that part.
No.
So like, you know how the, I'm going to sound very nerdy.
Yeah,
but you know how in an atom. You know, in an atom, like the space between the center of an atom and the orbit of the electron is like thousands of times the size of the atom.
Okay.
Thousands of times the size of the nucleus and the electron.
Okay.
So it's like, imagine the atom is like a very small ball, and then there's like 10,000 times the size of that ball to the next electron.
Yeah.
So it's like the structure of the atom itself is just like space and energy.
Yeah, okay.
And then it feels like solidness.
Yeah.
So if you follow all these people, they say you never touch anything because there's always an infinitesimal space between your hand.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
The next
makes
thing
sense.
So this texture I'm feeling is what?
It's
you're feeling the force of the table back against your hand. They're not actually touching it.
So different forces have different textures.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Like different arrangements. Some
it's
arrangements
okay,
are similar.
I accept it anyhow.
It's just like
so then we never really eat anything then.
Yeah.
No, you do now. It's just that like
we're not eating the food, we're eating the force.
Someone should help me out. Okay.
No, now if I'm not touching with my hands, I'm not touching with my tongue. So when I kiss someone,
mean,
I'm not kissing them, I'm
wow.
kissing the force of behind their lips. No, now we have to
like the taste of Stardust or all these places before.
Oh, okay. Alright, let's go.
Can we go back to the topic?
Yes,
now?
Please.
Yeah. So I was just like, God is, our church will be like God in three persons. So they are distinct personalities, and even the 7 billion, they are all also
different personalities.
Different, but the essence,
we are one with God.
Is still the same essence of is it homoceous 2 par 3, something like that, of the same essence as the Father?
Do you understand what that part is?
Like, but that's just
like,
the
homoceous 2 par 3. It should be a Greek word or something.
It's part of the Nicene Creed that Jesus is the same essence as the Father, or is this of the same materiality? There's no. And so similarly, all of creation, all of materiality is of the same being
found
and essence
God.
Of God. So even though we may
it's
have,
like we appear in God.
Yeah. And we are made of God.
Yeah, our substance. That's,
our
that's
substance.
Actually what I'm trying to point out.
Yeah.
That it's like you appear in and your substance is made of.
Yeah.
It's just that the personalities that you now appear to show
is
are
different. Yes.
So it's like multiple personalities but stemming up in one being. As if you have a screen and on the screen you're seeing 7 billion people manifesting different whatever.
Yeah.
But then they are made of screen.
Yeah.
And they are found on the screen.
Yeah.
Understand? So so back to faith and culture. I like how we're going forward,
yeah.
back.
So what are we talking about faith and culture? It's my brother that tempts the
Anna, we're saying how you're saying how morality is determined by the church and how if churches don't accept people because they have dress
okay, so
and makeup,
there's something that comes to mind when we talk about this. You know how earlier we were talking about how it's nice to like fight politics and want to say, oh, Christians should be more involved in politics and everything.
Okay.
But then we're now saying that we should preach the way of the cross and actually people changing their lives and everything. So you know how Nigeria is a very religious place.
Yeah.
There are churches everywhere. When we're coming here now, how many churches do we pass? I couldn't even count again. So, but at the same time, you don't really see the effects in the culture of people. I mean, the people that write changing paper in the office, are they Christians or are they understand? Like they also have their pastors. Some of them even have prophets and
some of them are the pastors.
Exactly, you understand. So it's like the culture.
Some of us are the pastors.
Chop. Celebrate grace. Oh, yeah. So it's like the faith is not changing the culture, or the faith is actually making the culture.
Yes.
Because
our interpretation of the faith
interpretation.
Is what is like say creating and sustaining the culture, whether it's working or not. Yeah, so like again,
explain that without looking at
the last
part.
Yeah, so like for the longest part, I was really like really so much into eschatology. So in fact, I so believe that eschatology, right? So our view of the end time, or even how the church sees.
Let me say.
End time, but
say eschatology determines our
soteriology.
So
there's a direct link between our end time view eschatology and our salvation. So why do we go to church? Why, like you said, that there are churches everywhere? So what is the primary driver for church?
Sure.
You know, and why some people might look down on the work they do at the office.
Yeah, and see it as not spiritual.
As not as spiritual as the work they do at church.
Yeah.
Or they look at church as high calling.
So there won't be three persons. A different person in the church, a different person at work, a different person at home.
You know, so there's schizophrenia.
No, they're trying to be Trinity.
They're trying to be Trinity. But then the Trinity, they are not different, per se, in terms of like what they would do. I feel like in the Trinity there's union, right? So the fact that they are not separate.
Yes, of course.
Yeah,
the,
or, like,
the way of their being is the truth of their
being. The truth of their being. But in the case of church, you know, like your church mind is different from your work mind.
But if you really look down at it, in the real sense of it, they are still corrupt in church too. Because if you go to a church, you meet bad politics and backbiting and gossiping,
I think,
and judging.
In that side, it starts from perception for me, Shab. I see a lot of people have perceptions of people, like, okay, classist perceptions, for example. Oh, this person is that. This person is useful to me, this person is not useful to me. That kind of thing. And then everybody's constantly trying to play a game. Even playing a game with God also, it's like, God is going to give me this one now. Let me do the same thing as subtle transactions, you know, or sacrificial transactions. Like, if I sacrifice my time, my energy, my giving, and evangelize to other people.
I have money.
Exactly. And all that. So, there's multiple layers to it, Shab. But I just think that if we say faith influences culture, then the culture we find around today is heavily influenced by the faith that we have.
Yeah.
That is either what the faith is doing or what the faith is failing to do, which is what you're trying to say earlier.
Yeah.
Like maybe it's supposed to, like if you say something's supposed to like be like a god or something, but then it is not working, so it's not achieving the purpose it's supposed to have.
Yeah. So yesterday we talked about how we need to be, will I say reformed, or may I use the term born again, right?
But
to be born again after the cross, or to basically take up our cross. I feel like the Nigerian
cross.
Nigerian system, like people don't want to, we don't believe in taking up our cross, right? Nowadays, or whatever that would mean. We don't want to lay down our lives for one another. Yeah, in fact, so again, so sometimes that might sound suicidal. It's not basically suicidal.
But we don't. And we don't get our hands dirty.
Dirty, yeah.
Either.
No. So we don't want to serve.
We want to rather.
We don't want to serve.
No offense to prayer. Prayer is great.
Yeah.
But we rather give responsibility to God. God will make Nigeria a better place. It will be better in future. How? If you don't start today. There's hope.
Outsourcing is
outsourcing, there's hope. Hope how?
Yeah.
People will do it, will now come in and think, how? Is it just?
Yeah, I feel like, so we don't want to serve.
Yeah, good.
But like, there's a message by Chris Green that God is not a master. Right? So in the course of the sermon, God is not a, God is a slave. God is a master that is a slave. God is a master that is a servant.
Yeah. You guys know this song, Upside Down Kingdom?
No, I don't know it.
Okay. Where we choose to lead and love by service. Okay. Pause button. Oh,
what was it?
You know, you're saying about, you're talking about.
So, sounds like God is a master.
Who is a servant.
Yes, that's what we
want. Right, so. And in fact, like, this just ties me to one particular conversation that I think a guy was asking me how, and it's a question that always like pops up again and again in my life, how that Jesus said that the Father is greater than himself. So if the Father is greater than the Son, I mean, if Jesus himself said that the Father is greater than him, So why do we preach like
Trinity? I don't understand. Jesus said the Father is greater.
Yes, Jesus said that the Father is greater than him.
Okay. So then why do we preach equal?
Why do we say that they are equal?
Good question.
This is a question that someone now come and say, oh, the Greek word for greater does not actually mean greater in that sense. It just means there is higher authority.
So what did Jesus mean now?
No, so for me, like, so how I look at it now is that, you know, so Jesus, whenever he was teaching what greatness means in the kingdom,
was service. Like, I wanted to wash my legs there. Don't mind me, but continue.
I wanted to wash his feet.
I was begging.
Okay, let's finish.
So Jesus saying that the Father was greater than him, right? So if we interpret it based on how Jesus always used greatness, it would be that the Father saves him.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't be our hierarchical model where
greater means
that, you know, the Father says go here, go there.
It would like be the Father is a bigger servant than Jesus.
The Father is a
It
would not be that the Father. It's not be that the Father. That Jesus is worshiping the Father. It would be that the Father is even serving and worshiping Jesus.
Or supplying.
So how perichoresis is that? So the Father glorifies the Son, and the Son also does not seek glory in himself, but he glorifies the Father, you know, and the same thing with the Spirit too.
So it's like everybody gives everybody.
Yeah, glory.
Everybody's pointing God to themselves. We're not God this
time. Yeah. So I feel like, so if we have such a vision of God, then we'll see that greatness. So we'll be looking for ways to outdo one another in love. Right, so like always creative ways to serve one another, and because of a lot of people feel like greatness is that I'm the best, I'm the one everybody says sad to or everyone worships, right? So we want to aspire, we want to create that master servant model, but God does not do that master servant model like we do. Right, God's own model is that He is the master that serves.
So, you know that thing about you trying to serve me food yesterday night, and I was like, I started feeling like, okay, so you feel like you're too big for someone to serve you. Like, oh, your ego or your pride
that's
is too...
That's all about receiving and giving.
Yeah,
you
and
can't
then,
give without receiving.
I just feel like that's something that faith should also hack into, so that people will stop holding on strongly to their sense of, like, oh, I am this, I am that. Because at the end of the day, why is everybody trying to scheme and game and scam, get money, get power, look like something, or like have selfishness and some sort? It's because of also their perception and interpretation of themselves,
right?
And their own identity. So I mean, I know identity is every young church, every new church everywhere now, but like I still feel like it's not changing enough of the culture to show that yes, it's working. Because so like talking about faith and culture is like saying by their fruit you shall know them.
Yeah.
So it's like saying the culture of people would show that yes, the faith has been working well or something.
Yeah. So I feel like it's back to what our perception of God, right, is what will trickle down to.
And our perception of God's perception of us.
Yeah, is what will basically shape culture. So because most people in this part of the world, we see God as the master that we should serve. So if we want to be conformed to the image of God, we are now conformed to the image of the one who demands service.
Yeah, so we also try to demand,
you know, and
we also see him as big, so we also try to be big.
We also see him as the one who takes an offering receives that if you give him stuff, he will now be obliged to give you back.
Mm.
Right, so that transactional lifestyle
But then this is a verse that says that of what benefit is it if you do good to only those two? Only those that do good to you, that the Pharisees and the pagans also do likewise.
Yeah.
So I just feel like the clues or the hints to see better they're already there.
Yeah, but I think why we don't see better is that we have exalted the episodes over Jesus. You know, so many of our churches in Nigeria, right, don't take Jesus too seriously. They'll be like, Jesus had not died yet, so all those words so all the things he was preaching, he was like the number one lawgiver, he was showing them that
even this one I quoted now is in the episodes.
Which one?
That of what benefits was it?
The Beatitudes. That's Jesus teaching on the Mount.
Okay.
So many of the New Testament, and you hear it a lot, that the New Testament began when Jesus died.
Mm, mm.
right? So all those kind of
Matthew,
talk,
Mark,
yeah, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, just like basic. It is basic. It does not. It does
never step up.
It is after the death, burial, and resurrection.
Step up,
that
step
is
up.
When it now begins to make sense. That's when the new creation was born. So that kind of thinking does not take the Sermon on the Mount seriously. So whatever Jesus taught on the Sermon on the Mount, many churches in Nigeria don't like. They will be like, no, it never entered yet.
But there's a lot there, like, and there's a lot that points to loss of personhood. Like, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall wear.
Yeah.
And lots of personhood that, and like, absorbing yourself into God and just trusting, having faith and everything. So is this where we round up this podcast?
Yeah, I guess we should round up because of Mirabella has been looking to be somewhere else apart from here. Anyway, you should have asked, but we'll stop now.
Thank you very much for listening. I'm
alright, I hope you enjoyed today's barbecue. For your questions, send a DM on Instagram or Twitter at Dubams, at DUBAMS. See you next time. Bye now. I'm